You'll learn to be prophetic people and seize the moment when I come for opportunity to seize the time, saith the Spirit of grace. When I ask of you, then exercise your authority and know that I get behind everything you say and everything you proclaim. Know this, that it is not only for one, but for all, that all may profit, saith the Spirit of grace, in this season, that all may profit by my grace. Know this, speak my word through your confessions, and watch me work.
Thank you,
saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
you,
Gay.
Hallelujah.
Coming. Oh, they're over in the basket, she said. You'll have to. So we'll just stand and worship. In fact, if you knew what I knew, you'd stand up for this. Because he wants to get involved with your finances.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Father, you are provider. Angels have been dispatched to gather in all of the finances and everything necessary for this revival. Therefore we say, there is no lack. We operate from abundance. We operate from surplus. We have all, and we abound with many baskets left over. In fact, we have such abundance. We can pay the way for many to come and many to go. We send them out on prosperous journeys for God with abundance in a manner fitting servants of the Lord. Our financial granaries are full because our King has found stewards that he can trust. And I am one of them. Father, if you need anything, come to my house first. Whatever you have need of, come to my house first. I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I am a first-class servant. Lord, I lay all my possessions at your feet. And I say again, Lord, if you need anything I have, it's yours. I love you, Lord, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. And the second commandment is like unto the first. I love my neighbor as myself. Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. Whatever you ask, that's what I do. I am your servant. I am your bond slave. By my free will choice, I serve you, Lord. By serving these people that you love so much and that I love so much. All that I have is yours, Lord. My time is yours. My body is yours. My family is yours. I own nothing. I am your bond slave. Use me as you will. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
before you're seated, I just feel like He wants us. How many of you know God's going to finance this revival?
Amen.
But He's not going to do it through angels. It's through flesh and blood. And so if He's going to do it, and you're going to be the people that He does it through, then it's just, it's not mathematical science. It's just deductive reasoning. It's real easy. He's going to pass it through you. He's going to pass it through you. Now, some of you are going to get a lot of it passed through, and some of you are going to get moderate amounts. But that part's up to you. That's really up to you. That hasn't really been predetermined. That's how much you want to give unto Him. And then He'll load your wagon. You just see how much you can give out, and then He'll load your wagon. And it's not based on, it's not based on how much. It's based on a place of how much you can die and become His servant. And how much He can just filter it through you. But I think, I know that He wants us to come down here just at least through one more song and lift our hands and thank Him for everything that He's about to do and everything that it's already doing right now, presently. Hallelujah. Presently. I mean, through those confessions, presently in our life, to get over this, these kinds of blessings to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify You. So You're down here for that purpose, to magnify Him for what He's going to do. I worship You, Father. Oh God, if there's a desire in my heart, it is to go all the way to the end and to stay steady all the way to the end and to give You everything all the way. Father, I love You. I worship You for these that have come tonight and for the person of the Holy Spirit who is here to glorify Christ. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. And we love You, precious person of the Holy Ghost. Glorify Him through Your Word. Glorify Him through Your Word. We thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to be found faithful, don't you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Just lift your voice to Him right now, would you? We love You. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's really talking to my spirit to encourage you more than anything else in this new year to get a hold of the hunger of God. If you can get... See, what you get hungry for, you can have. And what you start eating on, you'll get more hungrier for that. What your appetite is what you make of it. And God's not going to come and push Himself on you. But if you indulge in His Spirit to any degree, and even if you find yourself lacking in what you would presently say, I don't know how much of the passion for God I really have, but I can tell you this, it's like the palate of a baby's mouth. I mean, that mom that she's taking it off the bottle and starting to process it or grow it up on people food, and they get their chance to sit at the table, and every once in a while she'll reach over and, you know, take a little bit of mashed potatoes and put it on the roof of that little one's mouth or on the tongue, and man, it wakes up something inside of them. It's like, oh, this is not Gerber. This is something else. I didn't know this existed. I got to have some of this. And a little bit later, you know, you get one or two more of those fingerfuls, and boy, those little feet will just start kicking like anytime they sit down at the table, like, am I going to get to eat people food, you know? I'm telling you something. There's places in God that we've never, ever explored. There's places of intimacy. There's places of fellowship that He wants us to go to that nobody's taught us yet because nobody's been there yet. But He's wanting us to run into Him and say, Daddy, Abba, Show me who you are. Fill me with this massive hunger that when it's filled, it only wants more. Hallelujah. And when it's given, it only wants more and more and more and more and more. And it's the glory of God. It's the glory of God for Him to fill our spirits. It's what He loves most about anything in the kingdom is for you to want Him. And that's the part He cannot mandate. That's the part that He can't say, okay, I'm going to push this. He can, as a child of His, put perimeters around us for those who need perimeters and say, no, you really shouldn't be doing that, and you shouldn't be doing that, and you can't go destroy other people's lives, and that's not going to help your reward out at all. But the part that He just can't hardly mandate is the part that is given up to you and I, and that's the part of how much do I want to fall in love with Him. Hallelujah. And I can promise you that has dividends beyond all natural origin of understanding. Hallelujah. It's powerful. Praise God. And I'm just getting glimpses of it. I want you to follow with me for a few moments tonight through the Word of God. And we're going to discuss one man's life and look at him. And actually, I was reading something, just an excerpt. I didn't read the whole thing from John Bevar's book the other day. And I caught a glimpse of something and went in and began to look at it myself today. And because the Lord had already begun to speak to my heart in the first part of this year. And the prophecies were what's going to catapult us in is hunger, is a desperation, a want to say, God, I've got to have more than I've ever. See, the prerequisite for revival is hunger. The prerequisite for more of God is hunger. So the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart along the same lines when I began to read some of these other things. And it was already, I'm sure, God was already at work inside of me. But let's turn to Isaiah. We're just going to read different pieces of Scripture here. And I'm just going to have to listen because this is not something that, I mean, the Lord just began to talk to me this afternoon about it. So I'm kind of hearing it along with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah 55, hallelujah, says, Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And then he asks a question. Wherefore, or why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Hallelujah. I want to put on some spiritual pounds this year. Hallelujah. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Hallelujah. All right, now let's turn over to the New Testament, Matthew. Let's hear the words of our Savior, chapter 5. And this is, he climbs up on the mount. And this is where he does all the blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. Hallelujah. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, verse 3, chapter 5. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And this is the verse we wanted to see, look at rather. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Hallelujah. To be filled, now specifically Jesus is talking about the introduction of the new nature here. And he's talking about what's going to happen to you when you come into the kingdom of God. The whole picture here is the panoramic view. It's the tailoring of the new nature. The new nature is going to be filled with comfort, and it's going to be filled with righteousness, and it's going to, and he says, those that are hunger and thirst after righteousness, they're going to be filled. And that filling was, it was the birth of the new nature. It was what you and I have got. Now it doesn't just stop there. That's the launching point. That's the beginning point that you and I get to say, I want to get to know God. Hallelujah. Now, here's something that's very interesting to me, and I hope that it is to you also. Turn to Jude. Jude is a last day prophecy. In fact, we may read the book of Jude tonight. How about that? I mean, you know, you what you guys do, like, we just read a whole book of the Bible. We went to church and read the... Hallelujah to God. I got caught up on my Bible reading. Hallelujah. Now, there's some really powerful things that Jude says in here. And this, of course, is Jude or Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but Judas or Jude, the brother of the brother of Jesus, the natural brother of Jesus, and which was not one of his disciples, which was one of the ones in the Gospels at times where it was really recorded, and his brethren, wasn't talking about the Jews, it was talking about his physical brethren. His brethren did not believe him also. But guess what? They got born again. Hallelujah. They got born again. And James was one that got born again. And he became one of the patriarchs of the Jerusalem church. And he believed that his brother was not his brother. Indeed, he believed he was the Son of God. He was more than just the son of Mary. But this is Jude. And Jude is speaking, he says, and I love the way he starts this. And he's speaking about the end time. And he's speaking about later on, which we won't do much exhorting on, but he's talking about false or men that appear to be brethren in the last days, and they really are not. They really got an agenda, and they are really sent to destroy. They have their light has gone out. They're not even in a backslidden condition, and God's trying to reach out to them. At that point, they're in a place of destruction, meant for destruction for the church. But there's something in this I want you to see concerning what we're talking about tonight about the hunger of God. So we'll just read it, just so we can be real spiritual tonight. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Brethren, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which were kept not, that the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominions, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward, and pursued in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit wherewith, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, now listen to this, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murderers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lust, these being they who are separated themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I love that, don't you? And present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. 25 powerful, 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 powerful verses. And nestled right in it, it's all prophetic, and it's all last day, and it's all warning. And it's all very sobering. It's very, very sobering. It's like it catches you like, wow, this is powerful stuff, not to be scoffed at. I mean, there's a lot of deep revelation or a lot of deep things said, rather, by the Holy Spirit as in warning. But in verse 14, somebody here catches my attention, and that is the prophet Enoch. Verse 14, it says, And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, now, there's a couple things I want you to see here, because it's vitally, it's simple, but it's pure, and it's vitally important. Here is Jude prophesying of the end, and he references Enoch, which he says is the seventh son from Adam, and then he begins to quote and say there's a prophecy that Enoch gave. And we're talking about Enoch way prior, thousands of years prior to the Lord Jesus Christ ever being born. And here Jude is saying, I'm telling you, part of my revelation is based on what Enoch said, and Enoch prophesied, and the amazing part is that Enoch not only prophesied of our time and said in the last days before all this ends up, all these things are going to be happening, but here's the other amazing thing to me is Enoch has the ability through the Holy Spirit living in the day that he lived in to look all the way past us and say, I saw the Lord coming with 10,000s, plural, of His saints. And that man is looking past us. He's not filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ has not come yet. And there is no written word on the face of the earth in Enoch's day. And yet Enoch is prophesying. Well, you say, how can an Old Testament man do this? And our natural response would be, well, because God permitted him to, or God showed him these things. Yes, but also no. It wasn't just because God sovereignly ordained and said, oh, you know what? I want people thousands of years from now to think it's really neat that an Old Testament man saw past their day and hour. And so sovereignly, I'm going to put my prophetic voice in you. It was far more than that. It was far more than that. And Enoch prophesied of us, and he prophesied beyond us. And it amazes me that he had no written word, and he wasn't born again, and the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out. But we do get an inkling, and this is what the Lord was, I was going over today, of Enoch and his ministry. And this will go right back in a little bit to what the Holy Spirit was saying to me concerning this year and where we're going and what he's going to require of us to go to the next level. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're not going to teach on faith. Hallelujah. But we're going to mention someone's name here. Verse 1 of chapter 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which do appear. And now he begins to list the hallmark of elders that attained a good report. By faith, Abel offered unto God a much more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh, by faith, as in this guy that we just read about, by faith Enoch was what? Translated that he should not see death. Now this is the guy in the Bible we just spoke about, he prophesied. And Jude quoted his prophecy. But this is the guy in the Bible that was translated, and he just was on earth, and then they went one day to look for him, or his wife sent the kids, go call Papa, because he's down in the field. And Papa wasn't in the field. He was gone. He was translated. He was just out of here. There was only one other man that took any kind of, that was the prophet Elijah. He took off in a chariot of fire. But Enoch, here the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. Why? It says, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hallelujah. He pleased God. What was it that caused God to be so pleased? Well, we know that the subject matter here in chapter 11 is faith. But what kind of faith was it that initiated God coming and saying, I'm taking you out of here? It also amazes me that a man of the Old Testament... Well, let's just turn over there. Let's go to Genesis. And I really don't know which chapter. I'm kind of fishing along with you tonight, but I'm following. How we doing? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's look, first of all, just to give you a quick excerpt of what you and I were really created for. I mean, what we were really created for. And It's found an unusual place, and I'm looking, It's in chapter 3, and this is right along the fall. This is right after the fall. Verse 6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." And look at verse 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called out to Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" But verse 8 really epitomizes what you and I were called for, or what we were created for. I can tell you, it all boils down to this. He wanted to walk with us. He wanted a walk of fellowship with us in intimacy. This verse lets you know that this was a custom. This was something customary. That God, at certain time, the Lord God would come down and he would walk with Adam and he would have fellowship with Adam. And when that relationship and that sonship was broken, it comes out right at the point of intimacy. Right, it's discovered right at the point of intimacy, because when God comes down for his usual, see, here's God coming down and pursuing man, because that's what he created Adam for. He wanted to love him every day. He wanted to love him. He wanted to fellowship with him. See, if God's got a weakness, it's you. If God's got a weakness, it's me. It's not really a weakness, but it's a burning desire that he'll do anything he can for us. And he created us. It was in his heart to have this continual, and that walk in the cool of the day only epitomized, it was only an example of a continuous kind of fellowship that God wanted with Adam and all of Adam's offspring forever. Forever. It was a walk of life. It wasn't just a walk in the cool of the day. It was a walk of fellowship, so that he got to be daddy and we got to be kids and we got to share everything with him and he got to share everything with us. And how far that was going to go under that first, God only knows. Jesus Christ came to restore, to show us what it's like and what it's going to be like. Hallelujah. Forever and forever. But you know, he failed. Adam failed. And that's no condemnation to him. But the word said in Jude that the seventh son of Adam, this Enoch, he prophesied. And we think, well, why did this man prophesy? Well, Hebrews 11 tells us, because he got translated, because before this translation, he had this testimony. This is why God took him. He pleased God. He pleased God. Why did he please God? Well, what did God want to start with? He wanted intimacy. He wanted a walk. He wanted fellowship. He wanted intimacy and fellowship. Now let's see if we can find Enoch. Turn over to chapter 5. Hallelujah. Let's look at, I'm kind of walking this thing through, verse 18. "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after, or Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God." Hallelujah. Now that, if you can catch it, says it all. He walked with God. It says here, and Enoch walked with God, and after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Something happened about the time that he had his first son, Methuselah, that he turned in and said, I've got to have God. Now, when you read through, and you don't have to do the calculation, other people have done that for us. See, these were all, when you read this, if you don't understand what you're reading or how this all works out, these men were all contemporaries to one another. You'll find out as you read Adam, his great, 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 I think it's four, great, great, his granddaddy, Adam, was 687 years old when this Enoch, his grandson, turned 65. He was 665 less than 687 when he was born. Adam lived 900 something years. Adam was around 300 and something years per se while Enoch was still alive. His grandson could still come to him and talk to him. All these guys were contemporaries. They all lived 800 and 900 years. Adam was still on the earth when Enoch was there. And Enoch at 65 gave conception to, or his son Methuselah was born. And something significant takes place. God records it. He says, and Enoch began to walk with God. Hallelujah. That was what God wanted from Adam from the very beginning. No doubt, because it's his grandson, he could go back how far that was, down the street, over the hill, it had to be in proximity, and talk with Grandpa Adam. Grandpa Adam was going to live another 300 years. He wasn't senile. In fact, I'm telling you, when Adam was created, he was not a prehistoric caveman. We do not have IQ charts right now to even measure the IQ of Adam and Eve. These people were brilliant beyond brilliant. They had a mind that was pristine. See, sin has degenerated. It has caused not only the flesh to begin to die from 900 years now to, if we live 120, that's a big deal. But the mind and all the pressure and the depravity of sin has so infused the brain with such a depravity that the genius that once was has gradually through the generations been lost. I mean, there is no IQ charts to measure what these beginning fathers had. And Adam was there, and Enoch, no doubt, would be able to go and sit down and talk to him, and he would begin to say to him, Grandpa, tell me, I want to hear about creation. I want to hear about everything that he said to you in the beginning. Tell me. See, everything that's recorded in the book of Genesis about the beginning, we got it. Now, Moses wrote it, but Adam is the one that told it. He's the one that explained it all the way from that generation. And Enoch had to be able to go because, look, something inside of him, God has always been asking for people to come. David said this, the Lord said unto me, seek my face. And he said, as a result, he said, Lord, I'll seek you. I'll come to you. See, it's up to us how hungry we get. Something snapped on the inside of Enoch. And it was something that he had heard from his grandpa. It's something that he had said, because as his grandpa would begin to talk to him, as Adam would say, son, look, I can just imagine tears coming down his face before the fall. He would come every day, and he and I would walk for hours. I don't know how long we'd walk. And he would explain to me about creation. He would explain to me his master plan and what he had planned for me and for the masses that would ever be born. He'd explain to me creation, how he created. He would begin, and Adam could conceive it because his mind was that, his brain was that smart. And he would explain to him the creations of galaxies and how that in generations to come, all the great and wonderful things that God would have planned. And I can just conceive that Enoch in his heart was festering a hunger like no hunger that could be explained. And somewhere about the time he was 65 years old, something snapped on the inside of him and said, I got to know God. I want to walk with God. And he began a walk that so pleased the Lord. It was a walk of intimacy. It was a walk of fellowship. It was a walk. I can just imagine that he had to start at something like this. He had to get in a place where it was between him and God and say, God, I know you're here and I know you're out there because Adam has told me, my grandfather has told me, and he's explained who you are. And I know, because see, he's that intelligent. I know that we're a fallen race now. I know we're a fallen race. It was prophesied in the garden that a Redeemer was coming. That's why Eve, she thought it was one of her first sons. But it wasn't. It was a son to be born. And he would stand there day after day and say, God, I know that we're a fallen race. And I'm not saying that I would have done anything different than what my granddaddy did. I probably would have fallen also. But please, whatever you can do under this dispensation, whatever you can come and give me in fellowship, please walk with me. Please come to me. Please have intimacy. And the Bible says here that Enoch started a walk with God that lasted 300 years. It culminated because God took him. God's hunger for Enoch, I mean, when you get to a place where you want more of God than anything else, God shows up. James says, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. If you want him, he wants you. He already hungers after you. Something snapped in Enoch's heart and said, I got to have... And every waking moment from that point on, everything he could squeeze in, he began to squeeze in to having fellowship with God. And he would talk to him about, I mean, just talk to him and just fellowship with him and worship him. But just find out anything that God could explain to him about anything that he possibly could have wanted to said to Adam. When you get to that place, see, God's got a weakness and it's you. Hallelujah. 300 years, God keeps building up. You know what? I can just imagine. Now, see, by the time that gets to the 400th year, 450 years, I mean, because this thing is building. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. And it's a pattern of what God wanted with Adam from the very beginning. See, Enoch loved God, worshiped him, the more time you spend with God, you really get to know him past being just so-called God. He becomes your daddy. I've seen the Holy Spirit laugh. I've seen and felt and envisioned him laughing on the inside. I've seen his humor. I've felt his gestures of love to me. I've watched him as he's at times poked fun at me and said my name and just been a tremendous friend. By the time Enoch gets 150 years down the road with this walk with God, I can just see him laying in bed at night and just laying there trying to rest. And, you know, by this time, the two of them have got pet names for each other. Hey, E. E. Huh. Who, what is it? It's me. It's God. What are you doing? Well, God, I was sleeping. Hey, E, you want to hang out? You want to hang out? Come outside. Come outside. So they'd talk and they would talk, and then Eve's love would go, oh God, I know by what you prophesied in the garden, I know I'm dead and there are my redeemers coming. How could, and see what that fellowship, that kind of fellowship began to rub off on him, and you begin to see how powerful the original was supposed to be. If a man that's the seventh son from Adam begins to, just by rubbing shoulders and getting up and walking around with God, begins to look into the future and begin to say, wait a minute, I'm not like a caveman walking around here. I've got the full intelligence of God. I'm looking to the future and I'm prophesying that there's a day where the Lamb is coming back. The Lord is coming back with 10,000s of His saints. That man was saying those things in that day. Why? Because he was walking with God and God was having fellowship with him until the day that God just said, woke him up one night and said, hey, come outside. I got something to tell you. I miss you real bad. I got to have a fix all the time. You and I hanging around together, I just love you. There was one day they went to look for him, and this is just what the Bible said, and he was not. He was supposed to be over there. He may have told his wife and kids, look, this thing that I've got going on with God, I got caught up yesterday, and I didn't think I was coming back. I'm telling you, I don't know if I'm coming back tomorrow. And here's the essence of it. Nobody holds a corner on the market. You can have as much of him as you want. Come in here, please, and blow me away. Come, run past me if you can. Go into God as far, you can have as much as you want. He will follow. He will fall on. He will endow with all of His glory those who will choose to walk with Him. Hallelujah. If you hunger after Him, if you want to get up and meet with Him, if you want to get up and talk with Him, if you want to follow Him, I'm telling you, He will magnetize towards you, and you'll come in the church one day and say, hey, Pastor, I got a glory on me. I'm not trying to move in on anything, but I'm telling you, if you'll just let me get my paws on people, I feel like I can raise the dead. I'm telling you, it's for one and for all. It's for anybody and whosoever will. Let him come. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Drink freely. Drink. Drink. He wants you to have it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. He walked with God, and then one day, God said, that's enough. You're there, I'm here. I mean, I got to squeeze you. Hallelujah. And that sounds kind of infantile, but that's the truth. That is the truth. God wanted a hug so bad, He said, I got it. And Enoch really is the prototype of the resurrection, because he's prophesying of the 10,000 of them coming back with his saints, or with 10,000 of his saints, he coming back. And here he goes. Hallelujah. Caught up. Glory to be to God. I want to know Him. I want to know Him more than ever before. Hallelujah. Marcia, you want to put these up? We're going to worship God. That's going to close us down as worshiping God tonight. But I'm going to ask you to look in your heart right now and ask God what He'd have you to give. We're believing God for a blessed offering tonight. And so I believe that God will speak to your heart. And He'll provide. If it's there, He'll make it known. Let me pray over you and pray over this offering. Father, I love you. I thank you that we receive this by grace. I thank you, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we begin to see those things. This walk, this desire. And Lord, as we give these things tonight, speak to our spirits. Speak to our hearts. Not out of what we don't have, but out of what we do have. We thank you for it. And we bless you. Bless this offering now, Father. Breathe upon it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless you in Jesus' name. And we're just going to close by bringing this offering and then worshiping. Or you're free to go or to stay. Hallelujah. Waves of His glory are coming this year. And when they come, just be a spiritual hog. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. In Jesus' name, I bless you. You're free to stay or to go. Amen. God bless you.